Welcome to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today, we welcome members of the Bainbridge Prepares team in our several-part series to discuss caring for vulnerable populations, access and functional needs, and pets in the event of a wide-scale disaster. Please welcome Reed Price, Rita Ellsbury, Suzanne Ferguson, and Yasuyo Sousa. Did I get a close?
It's Yasuyo Sousa.
It's fine. No
Yasuyo Sousa.
Yeah, there you go.
He can edit.
Yeah. So this is a big topic. Rita, do you want to give us an overview?
Well, it's very confusing when people hear the term access and functional needs. So what we like to think of is any person who would find themselves in the course of a natural disaster or a generalized emergency, the needing assistance, whether it be because of medical issues, vision or hearing issues, mobility concerns, any host of things, if that would require the assistance of another person in order for them to be cared for in emergencies, that's kind of an overview of what that would include.
Okay. Now, what about, how do pets enter into this?
Well, pets can be injured. Pets could be displaced from their homes. So our goal is to have hubs set up where animals can be brought in need of an emergency. If they need emergency care, have veterinarians on board, have assistants to help out, and be able to house pets if need be. Hopefully have some homes on the island. We're working on getting people to offer their homes for animals that have strayed or have needs. So that's basically what we're doing. Is
pets are a big part of the population on Bainbridge Island. Yes. Lots of pets.
We have about 25,000 domestic animals. And then there are horses and livestock as well on the island.
Yeah, when you first started talking about the pets, I thought about small pets, mm-hmm. kitties, cats, dogs,
right.
rabbits, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, but then when you start talking about larger pets or larger animals, mm-hmm. like horses and cows and pigs and things like that, how does that enter into the picture?
Well, at this point, what we're doing is we're educating the people, the owners of the animals, the farmers, people who have horses. We're hoping to have some stables available for horses if necessary, and we're working on that. But we don't have transportation, so we're ensuring that these people have transportation for their animals or that they can get together as a community, and making sure that they have everything they need in the way of food, water, that kind of stuff, but that we cannot house or transport because we just don't have that capability.
If people wanted to learn more about this and stay caught up on mm-hmm. what's being talked about and what's being planned, I know they can go to bainbridgeprepares.org, and there's actually a line item about pets there, right?
Right, and what we're doing at this point is we're having Dr. Sweeney, who owns Day Road Animal Hospital, is put together a first aid discussion, and he is going to be presenting that to the Map Your Neighborhood at Map Your Neighborhood meetings. And we're also in talks with having him do some Zoom presentations. And with the Map Your Neighborhood presentations, they will actually get a handout on first aid for animals to be prepared for a large disaster, what they need to have to be prepared, and then how they can treat animals for minor injuries.
Thank you for that. Reed.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I'm working with Rita on the Access and Functional Needs Group as director of the Senior Center. That makes a little bit of sense. And our biggest effort is focused on before a disaster. We're looking at how we can prepare the community. I think that's probably true for all of us at Bainbridge mm-hmm. Prepares. But we don't see a group that's going to activate itself after a disaster. We're trying to get the knowledge out there so that if there is somebody in your neighborhood or next door to your neighborhood that might be in need of checking in on after a disaster, we're trying to help the communities, the Map Your Neighborhood groups, or those individuals identify themselves. And we're doing our best to try to give them and their families information about what kind of emergency supplies they might need. And those are both people who live in congregant settings like apartment buildings and people who live by themselves. In fact, there are a lot of seniors who live in houses all by themselves.
Yes.
And when a disaster occurs, it's really hard to identify them.
Yeah, that's one of the big challenges for this population is there are many people who don't necessarily have the latest technology and access to information. And we think information is really crucial in the event of a disaster. There recently has been an effort to help connect people who don't have cell phones with the emergency alert system. And Reed and Island Volunteer Caregivers in the city have been involved with trying to get those people identified and help them get registered so that if there was a large-scale emergency, those alerts, like people get on Nixel and other ways on their cell phone, can be disseminated to them through a landline as well.
So robocalling, people who don't use text messaging or have a smartphone or would have difficulty reading one if they had one, can get a phone call, which might say the emergency hub is open or emergency hubs are open. If you need help, call something. Or ideally, they might also have been pre-connected, ideally, with a neighborhood that would try to come to their aid. Because one of the things that we've talked a lot about at Bainbridge Prepares is that the closer that you can respond to an emergency in your household, in your neighborhood, in your larger neighborhood, the better off we'll be because help is not going to be coming from somewhere else. It's going to be coming from us.
Yeah.
Right. And some of the other things we've done in particular to help the group that we are focused on prepare is doing some trainings both in some of the housing units like Finch Place, Virginia Villa, Winslow Arms, focus specifically on how they can prepare and some of the considerations, say, for seniors that maybe other populations might not need to think about as much. Things like if you have a mobility challenge, if you have special medications that you need to have on hand and any kind of special storage needs like keeping insulin cold. Those kind of things are topics that we try and cover in particular. And we've actually done trainings, not just in the facilities, but then for the community as well, like at the senior center. And also we are, just trying to get people to think about any kind of preparation is better than no preparation. So it may be overwhelming to think about building a huge kit all at once, but how can we encourage people to start with small steps?
I would think then in the Map Your Neighborhood program, being aware of vulnerable populations is really a key part of that. Seniors, for instance, making sure that they're involved with the interactions as you do your Map Your Neighborhood programs and so forth.
Yeah, as it, when it works in a neighborhood, what happens is that the community gets together and kind of identifies both what kinds of resources you have available, who has a chainsaw, who has medical experience, who has a ladder, and then what are the risks, who has propane tanks, and also who might need to be checked on, Somebody who's living by themselves is definitely somebody that you want to have contact with. If you haven't heard from them, you might want to stop by.
Seems to me that that touches some of the same points you would want to think about in the animal community.
Definitely. What's going to happen is if animals are displaced, they're nervous, they're going to be, have a lot of anxiety. The best scenario would be if the animals were at the home and the homeowners or the animal owners, the pet owners, are educated. They know what they have, everything that they need to get them through for a period of time, whether it's freeze-dried food, plenty of water. And so this is part of the whole first aid package that we're presenting to the pet owners so that they will be prepared. leashes, that kind of thing. We're also, of course, in the process of looking for donations and for more help. But we need donations of crates. We need donations of food, leashes, old collars, anything like that, just so that we are prepared for these animals that are brought into any hubs. Right now we have three hubs. We have Seabold Church. We also have Bainbridge, what is it called now? Bainbridge Recreation, Park and Recreation, the Bainbridge Recreation Center. And we have Fort Ward. We've talked about the parade grounds, or if that's taken, if that's a large hub and we don't have, they don't have enough capacity for us, we will move over to the Fort Ward upper parking lot. So, and then we've had offers. Dr. Swaney has also offered his facility, which is fairly large. And we're looking at a couple more, just Battle Point Park. Mm-hmm. We can set up over there. We just want to be prepared. 25,000 pets. That's a lot of animals on the island. And hopefully they're going to be able to be taken care of at home. But there will be animals who are just terrified.
Yeah, you know? To me, it's another one of those things where making sure people know what you have in your neighborhood setting so that, that all that information can be shared. Yeah. I mean, if the two of us were over in Seattle and there was a disaster of some kind, we have two kitties at our house. Mm-hmm. We've had them for almost 6 years, so they're still kitties in our mind, well taken care of. And but I want to know, I want people to know how to feed them, because at 8 o'clock in the morning, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they're ready. And I would imagine there's hundreds of pets about that.
For sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, there isn't really much I can add to what Suzanne's been saying. She's been doing it so well. But again, we're going to get right back to educating the pet owners, number one, first and foremost, the, you know, having the emergency, what you prepare for people, you basically prepare for pets as well. It's almost identical one-to-one, even having this first aid kit. You can basically use the same things for your pets as you do for yourself. So being, you know, the biggest thing to understand, again, I think Dr. Swaney is the one that said, cats, when they're stressed, will not eat. So that was one of the biggest takeaways I got from his little, you know, having a speaking with him. So you've got to remember to just as much as possible calm them down. So if they're going to be out in the wild, they might be better off out there. If you try to corral them, it's not going to work as well because they're going to be super stressed. So, you know, at the hubs, we're planning to try to get scanners to kind of microchip the scanners so we can reunite them as soon as possible with their pet owners. So that they can get de-stressed. And obviously, again, communication. A lot of people aren't aware. They have not a clue that we even exist. And we are still in the infancy, and we still need a lot of help because 25,000 pets, not that all they're all going to run off, but it's going to be a challenge. And so, again, back to what I was saying, education, getting the pet owners prepared for emergencies. They are the number one
resource for them, for sure.
Exactly.
And again, I just want to stress to our listeners that if it sounds like you could use some more help.
Definitely.
With the pet.
Absolutely. Number one right now.
and then go to BainbridgePrepares.org, go to that pets line item.
Right.
And tap into that. And there's an opportunity there.
There's a on Bainbridge Prepares, there is actually forms that can be completed for volunteers. They go through the city of Bainbridge, and they get vetted through the city of Bainbridge. And yes, we are looking for veterinarians. We are looking for vet techs, vet assistants, and then just the general population who love animals.
And Rita, on your end, if people are interested in stepping forward, are you looking for particular areas of background and experiences?
Well, certainly people who have experience in working with seniors or people who are involved in, say, the visually impaired persons community, any organization that has specific knowledge about the needs of people they work with that could help us brainstorm, like, what are the things we're missing? We want to talk with the hubs about how they're set up for people who might need extra assistance, maybe with mobility, or even say someone who has dementia that might not do well in a setting with a lot of stimulation. Is there a spot where we can take people that would be a more calm area? And then just looking at doing some educating, like we've done some of the presentations, you know, if people are interested in that. We're also going to be doing an updated assessment of some of the congregate living facilities. We've done that in the past, and we'd like to update that. And that's looking at, like, how many residents do they have? How many people would definitely need assistance in evacuating if the building need to be evacuated? What kind of emergency preparations do they already have in place? Do they have supplies on hand for the residents? How well prepared are those residents? Because a lot of times if you're living in an apartment, you don't have a lot of room to store things. Do they have like a large first aid kit for the building? Do they have a generator? Do they have an on-site manager? You know, all those things we want to kind of get a handle on so we would know where the focus might need to be in the event of a large-scale disaster. And we're not going to be, as a team, we're not going to be responding and evacuating people, but working with other teams that would be involved in that.
And I would also say, raise your hand to be part of Map Your Neighborhood, even if you don't have the place where you think you could gather your whole neighborhood together. Just letting your neighbors know that you're interested is enough to get the conversation started. And as Rita said earlier, any little bit of preparation is better than none. Once you've talked to somebody about even what they have, then you have a place to start when a disaster happens.
Absolutely. And I have to say, through several of these discussions that we've had now about Bainbridge Prepares, it always comes down to the Map Your Neighborhood thing and how important that is to be a part of that. It's your next door neighbor. It's the people who live around you, the people who are elderly. It's those seven or eight kids that get off the school bus every afternoon. So that's all.
Yep. It's the first line of response is what it is, your neighbors. So it's just so important to have that. And hopefully once they form a Map Your Neighborhood community, they have regular meetings and keep it updated. It's been difficult with COVID. I know in my community, it's meetings have pretty much been non-existent. I think we had one 2 years ago or so was the last meeting we had. But just having a gathering place, being able to, you know, where everybody can gather, it's in the event of an emergency, a large-scale emergency. And what we're doing in our neighborhood is preparing signs for people to put in their windows
That's a great idea.
If an emergency should occur, like, okay, or need help, you know, and hopefully they can get to the window. And then we do have people assigned to go around and check the homes.
In our neighborhood, things kind of was in the dormant stage during COVID, but now all of a sudden it's fired up. Everybody wants to participate. It's really cool. Good time. Well, you guys have shared a lot of really great information with us today. Any closing thoughts?
Well, thank you very much for having us. I think it's an important message to get out to the community.
Yes, and I think connections are just vital, and that's really the basis of all this. And as Scott James likes to say, you know, a resilient community is what we're going for here, and I think that we're well on our way to that.
And it pays dividends every day, not just when there's a disaster. And we found that through COVID with Bainbridge Preparers and a lot of volunteers showing up. And every time we exercise these muscles, they get a little stronger.
Yeah, well, thanks to you guys, I got my booster. That was quite an experience seeing. I mean, talk about action in action. I was just totally blown away with that experience. Really wonderful. Well, thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Great experience for me, for sure. And thank you, our listeners, for this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.